Today we began a process. A few weeks ago we voted to relocate the church. Do you remember that? And that was a good thing, and I'm calling it Let's Go. Because it came to be the theme of the business meeting. I remember a few years back, we just built this building a couple years old, 3 years old maybe, and Brother Brown called me from Evangel and said, "Hey, I'm going up into Georgia. I buy suits up there. You want to ride with me?" So I rode with Brother Brown and listened to his story and how God called him and what a miracle and the miracles God worked through his life. And it was just a beautiful ride up there. And he bought a suit and I watched him. My mission was not to buy anything. My mission was just to hang out with a man of God. And on the way back, we started talking about what God was doing in our church. And he looked over at me and he says, "You know, I think you got another building in you." And I looked at him like he was crazy. Because at that moment, we'd been here a couple years and I saw no. And so here we are. A few years back, the board voted to start looking for property. And we started looking. And then Mr. Gadsfini called us and, "Hey, I'm doing a new subdivision. There's about 3,000 homes going in. I'd love for Freedom Church to be in there." I don't know about you, but I kind of was impressed by God's activity. And then we got the site work done and all that, and then they have this assessment for people who live in that community to maintain roads and flower beds and sidewalks and all that. Some of those businesses over there, of course, they treat churches like businesses, you know. We're paying 15, 20 grand a year just to maintain those pretty flower beds. And I told Mr. Gadd, "We can't do that. We cannot do that as a church. Let me see what I can do, Larry." So come to find out, he talked to the board, and they did this and that. And because we're a nonprofit, they reduced that to $800. To be honest with you, this last year we paid $660. It came in our tax thing for that. Just little things over and over that God did kind of helped me. Because what we're about to do is beyond us. It's beyond us. And then the city called and said, "Hey, Pastor Larry, the property you're purchasing over there, we want to put a roundabout right there in front of you." And I ask this question, "You mean everybody's going to have to slow down in front of Freedom Church? Can our driveway be on the roundabout?" "Yes, of course." "Then I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Because I think God is trying to draw attention to this church because of what Jesus can do in people's lives through your hands. Through your hands and my hands together. Amen? Well, we got an offer, and we accepted that offer, and it's the largest offer we've ever had, $4.9 million and all of that good thing. And I'm reminded of the scripture in Numbers 13:30, where Caleb has spied out the land, and he comes back, and he says to the people, remember, there were two who said, "Let's go," and the others didn't want to go. And Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." I know this. At the end of "go" is God's provision. Don't expect God's provision without the "go." But it's that willingness to go that opens up heaven for God's people. The Red Sea would have never parted had they not left Egypt. The water wouldn't have come out of the rock without a go. Manna wouldn't have come from heaven without a go. And that's our job. We put together this little video David did, and it's kind of the theme of what we're doing here. What I sense God telling us, calling us to, and that is this: let's go.
Ah!
what's set before us is bigger than any one of us. I told the staff the other day, I feel like the little boy who showed up with a bag of lunch to feed 5,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have loved to heard his story when he got home. Because, you know, the mama had something to do with preparing his lunch. And when the boy got home, he said, I can just hear this. Mama says, how was your lunch? He said, I gave it away. You did what? With the lunch I prepared? But mama, aren't you glad with God there's always an opportunity? An opportunity. I feel like that little boy, because what's before us is bigger. I got a little pamphlet I want to give you. The ushers are prepared to give it. And we're going to begin a process of a year commitment and one-time gifts. And it involves all of us. Because it's not about one person, it's about all of us participating together to accomplish something for His glory. I believe with all my heart God wants to do something in our lives together that, here's what also I know. 5 years ago, it was the perfect time. Interest rates were low, building costs were low, and everything was right, and now it's all wrong. That's my logic. That's my opinion. And me and the Lord has had a few conversations over that right there. Because His ways don't make sense to me. But we need everybody. And I want you to begin to pray about what God could do through your hands. I started praying right after the vote, because when that vote happened, the weight of that whole decision fell on my shoulders. And I said, God, what can I do? Because this ain't going to happen with just regular tithes and offerings. It's going to happen with a little sacrifice from the people of God. And I you know what? God, this is what I'm going to do. Every now and then I'll do a wedding and someone will bless me, or I'll preach somewhere and someone will bless me, and I'll give all those offerings to the building, Lord. So I made that commitment, and wouldn't you know it? You know, God will test you with your commitments. I preached at this event, and they sent me the largest check I've ever gotten for preaching outside of this church. Yeah. So I made a contribution. Oh, and then 2 weeks later, a church called me, hey, come over here and help us. It wasn't a service or anything. I went over there to help them, and they sent me half of what the other check was. I gave it away. Listen, if you'll make opportunity for God to do something through your hands, He will do it. Some of you need a raise. What if you made a commitment that if I get that raise, God, for the first year, I'm going to get 50% of that raise to building a church? I mean, there are opportunities for you to think outside the box. You know what I began to praying for? I'm praying for someone to loan us the money and not have to go through a bank. Doesn't that scare you? I don't know. I just want God to do what He needs to do to accomplish something that's beyond us together. You know what I mean? I need God to show up in a supernatural way. He has done some things that I find amazing, but I know He's about to do some more things. So I want you to pray about that. Those of you that are online, you can go. If you want to make a pledge to our building, you can go to freedomchurch.life/signup, and there's a little tab there, let's go. That has to do with the building program. You can do that. Listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, there's the story of a widow woman. Can I tell you, Elijah has just left the brook Kereth. He's been fed by ravens. Has anybody ever been fed by ravens before? That's kind of what I thought. And you read that scripture, and the scripture says the ravens brought him breakfast and dinner. Now, I don't know about you, but some of you might have trouble eating after ravens. But it was God's provision. And God tells Elijah, let's just read it right here. Listen to this. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Say that with me. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and he arrived at the gates of the village, and he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of a jug. I was gathering a few sticks for this last meal. Then my son and I will die. But Elijah said, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make me a little bread first. And then she used what was left to prepare the meal for herself and then used the rest to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Verse 14, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your container until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. And there was always enough flour and oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts today. Help us, your servants, to hear. Help us to know, Lord, of your goodness, of your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's provision always comes after the go. God tells Elijah, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. Elijah gets there, and it seems to me the widow has no clue. She's making preparations for her death, not her life. She is not in a place of hope, but of despair. And God already knows what he's going to do through her emptiness. In the face of her want, God is about to provide not only for her and her son, but for the prophet of God. God is good at doing things beyond our expectation if we'll just listen. If we'll just listen. So the prophet went to Zarephath, and he arrived at the gates. He saw a widow gathering sticks with one question. He said, bring me a cup of water. Well, she's happy to do that because that's within her means. She can get the prophet a cup of water. Can I tell you, sometimes God just starts with the little. God just starts with the little sometimes. Just to see and test your heart. And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread also. Now we got a problem. She has a legitimate problem. There's no bread in the house. There's nothing there. I don't have a single piece of bread, she says. Only a handful of flour and a little oil at the bottom of the jug. Can you imagine looking into that jug every day and looking down? There's not much. And now all you can see is just the bottom. Looking at the bottom with no hope. Knowing that your end is coming. Knowing that your want is bigger than anything you have. Yeah. And she's trying to, I'm just wondering if she's trying to convince the prophet his request is selfish. or is it to test her faith? This is what she says. I was gathering sticks. She had surrendered to the lack. You know, it's easy to do that. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I don't. I grew up hearing my dad say this. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. I tried to break that off of my life. It was taking a long journey. A long journey. You going to surrender to your lack? You going to surrender to what you don't have? Or are you going to surrender to him who has it all? Amen. What God has and what God can do for you. Maybe that's why Paul says this in Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, it's not like that Paul hadn't found the end of the barrel. He's found that a few times in his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, it says this. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. He's talking about this affliction in his own life. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the results, insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm made strong. You see, surrender finds strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the men of faith in Hebrews 11, 32 through 35. How much more do I need to say? It would take so long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these men overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned into strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from the dead, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Man, that's hard. This past week, one of our former worship pastors, Keith Vernelson, lost his 17-year-old son. It broke my heart. There are things you just can't explain in life. He was a miracle baby. He was born with a heart, and this church prayed with heart problems, and this church prayed him into wholeness. I believe that with all my heart. And somehow he affected this infection, got him, and it took him. I know what the scripture says. When David lost his son, he can't come to me, but one day I'm going to go to him. And that's our hope in the Lord, that this life is not all there is. And if you're living for this life, you're miserable. You're miserable. See, by faith, they found strength. By faith, their want, their lack, found the provision of God. I'm gathering wood to cook my last meal, she said, and then my son and I will die. Whew. In the face of her want, God's provision was coming. Glory to God. Listen to me. Be careful not to give in to your want. Don't to give in to the in the face of your lack and forget there's a God in heaven who wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. This is when she's empty, God said, give. It doesn't make sense. In the face of her want, God's provision through giving. God had a few things planned out. She couldn't see beyond the empty jar. We're going to cook the last and we're going to die. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll look up to him, he'll give you hope, faith beyond. Beyond. That's the Lord we serve. Amen? God had other intentions for her life than just for her and her son to eat the last meal. God's provision was about, and Elijah says this, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you've planned, but make me a little first. What? What? And then take what's left and prepare some for yourself and your son. Listen to what it says in verse 14. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Glory to God, enough oil and flour that lasts through the drought, that lasts through the famine. God knows how to stretch your pennies. Your pennies. Your dollars. Verse 15, so she said unto Elijah. Oh, so she did as Elijah said, and she did. And Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and oil left in her containers. Just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Her giving, listen to me, her giving set her up for a miracle. If you continue reading in the next verses, I hope you will. Because her son dies. Which makes no sense at all. Here the prophet is living in her house. Listen to me, had she not given to the prophet, her son would have died. But because she gave to the prophet and made room for God's provision to show up, when her son died, the prophet was there to pray. You know what? Sometimes you need people in your life that can pray what you can't pray. Sometimes you need people in your life to do what you can't do because all you can see is the empty jar, the empty bottle, the empty oil. And there needs to be around your life people of faith that can say, lift up your head, the redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your head, though the mountains fall into the sea, the Lord will be your help. He is good that way. And her son lived. Her son lived. Man. When you leave today, you're going to get a little card because I want you to pray. And it's about this message. It says, let's go. But the first question is, where do I need God's provision? Where do you need God's provision? Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's somewhere there's a want in your life, a lack. Where do you want that? Next question is there anything I need to give up to receive God's presence, God's provision? You know, sometimes we have not because we ask. And there are many times in Scripture, you know, the 5,000 wouldn't have been fed without a lunch. God takes our little and he does make it much. The third question is, thank God for all of his provision in your life. Can I tell you, God has blessed you more than you know. Aren't you glad for his blessing? Huh? Yesterday, I had Everett all afternoon. For 6 hours, we swam and we played game. And he's got this little game he loves. You put whipped cream on the end of a hand and you spin that thing. And he loves to see whipped cream all over my face. To be honest with you, it's nasty. I mean, it got in my eye, got up my nose. Because somehow, it always hit my face, not his. He won the game. It's the little joys in life. If you're not careful, you'll miss it because of all the lack and want. I believe that together God wants to do something through our lives that mean something supernatural for the city of Tallahassee. Amen. Would you just stand right now and would you thank him for his love demonstrated in your life? Would you just think about the things that he's blessed you with? Slip your hands toward heaven. Would you just love on Jesus and thank him for his provision over your life, for salvation, for healing, for provision? I don't know about you, but I feel like the Lord has blessed me more than I ever deserve. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. You know that little lady? That lady was gathering sticks. It was the only thing she knew to do at the moment was to gather sticks for a fire. That gathering wasn't wasted because she would make bread for the prophet and her son. And from that day on, there was never another worry about food and oil. Bread. You know what? God gave us the greatest gift that was ever given. And to the world, it seems like sticks. But God gave his son the provision from heaven. And you and I get to participate in this love. His love shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. After supper, he took the bread. His body, broken for you. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for a body broken. Jesus. Jesus is his name. Thank you, Jesus, for the provision of heaven coming to my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless this, Lord, as we remember you today.